four chances for you each weekday. It's 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7, I'm Heather Curtis. The largest attacks ever on Saudi Arabia's oil facilities prompt action by the U.S. The Pentagon sending troops and military equipment to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates.
It's being called a moderate deployment of forces to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. No specific numbers were announced. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the troops will be defensive in nature and primarily focused on air and missile defense following the attacks on the Saudi oil facilities.
Correspondent Jerry Bodlander. Three students at the University of Maryland College Park are infected with salmonella. The director of the University Health Center said in a statement two of the three ate at the school's dining halls. David McBride added there's no indication dining hall food is what got the students sick. He says they'll let students and staff know if the state and county health departments recommend additional precautions be taken. The University of Maryland gets a $200 million grant to research seasonal flu vaccines.
UMD School of Medicine says the research is aimed at testing vaccines and conducting controlled studies. The money is coming from the federal government's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. It hopes to develop a universal vaccine against new flu strains and to improve existing flu vaccines as well. The university says influenza affected more than 43 million people in the U.S. last flu season. Maria Leaf on WMAL and WMAL.com.
The Eroica Trio will be joining the National Philharmonic tonight and tomorrow as the orchestra opens its new season. There's cause for celebration. The orchestra almost had to disband due to financial trouble, but over the summer, people donated $500,000 to ensure the music doesn't stop.
It's wonderful that there are enough people who cared. And now we can again play music for lots and lots of people.
Conductor and music director Peter Gajewski says there will be 11 performances this season. The season kicks off with a tribute to Beethoven on the year of his 250th birthday. If you won't be in town to vote in the Prince William County elections November 5th, absentee voting is now open Saturday through Friday.
It'll be starting at 8:30 a.m., and we have three locations.
Board of Elections Secretary Keith Scarborough says the locations are the Manassas DMV, Office of Elections in Manassas, and the new Gainesville Haymarket Library. Races include chair of the Board of Supervisors and chair of the school board. The last day to vote absentee in person is the Saturday before Election Day. Again, you can vote any day absentee except for Sunday. In sports, Trey Turner hit two solo homers and the Nats beat the Marlins 6-4. The Brewers beat the Padres 5-1. Washington stayed one game ahead of Milwaukee for the top spot in the NL wildcard standings. The Nats continue their series with the Marlins tonight at 6:10. The Cardinals are taking charge of the NL Central by grinding out tough, ugly wins. They held off the fading Cubs 2-1. The O's topped The O's win last night 5-3. That series continues tonight at 7:10. Up next, traffic and weather on WMAL.
Arlington's best loved and most diverse street festival is back. Join WMAL September 21st starting at 11 a.m. for Clarendon Day. Help celebrate over 20 years of fun and enjoy the live entertainment, a large kids area, arts and crafts vendors, and more. Plus, try out all the food and drink offerings from the local and regional restaurants. Clarendon Day, September 21st, starting at 11 a.m. Get the details online now at WMAL.com/events. Don't miss it.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media.
Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-716-0457. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-716-0457. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-716-0457. Again, 800-716-0457.
WMAL Traffic and Weather, here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Maryland, we still have a portion of Pennsylvania Avenue closed northbound right at Quarter Avenue, this in Suitland, because of a crash investigation. In the district, be aware of the 8th Street Festival today with numerous street closures in effect, including 10th Street that closed north of G Street, and 11th Street is closed south of 8th Street headed towards Florida Avenue. On 395, we've got some roadwork still in both directions in the vicinity of Duke Street. Northbound, your delays begin at Edsel Road. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, sunny, a high in the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 68. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high near 90. And tomorrow night, mostly clear, a low around 70. Monday, your work week will start off mostly sunny with a high near 91. Right now, 53 degrees in Chantilly, 54 in Damascus, and 61 degrees here in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
I was looking at 300 pounds in the future, and I knew that wasn't a place I wanted to be.
Weight loss can be challenging, but EMP 180 gives you nutritious foods and empathetic one-to-one guidance and support to keep the pounds and guilt away.
When I started EMP 180, I used to wear a 2XL, and now I'm in a size medium. The counseling at EMP 180 has been one of the biggest successes of their program from my perspective. Compared to other weight loss programs I had tried in the past, EMP 180 and the support they give is going to be the key success to keeping the weight off this time. EMP 180 has really changed my outlook on life as far as my health, my appearance, how I look at food, and my total self-esteem. When I look in the mirror, I feel really great for the first time in a very long time.
Set your first consult at EMP180.com or call 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. Financing's available. EMP 180 Weight Loss. Use it to lose it for life.
Now, the Saturday Morning Update.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
Hour two of the Saturday Morning Update kicks off with John Gizzi. He's the White House correspondent at Newsmax.com and the chief political columnist. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Corey Lewandowski made headlines this week, and you were in touch with Corey beginning of the week and later in the week. And we've heard a lot about the possibility of a run for Senate in New Hampshire. What's the latest on that?
Well, I'll let Corey speak for himself. He sent me an email on the morning after his now celebrated and storied testimony before the House Judiciary Committee and said, and I quote, "I'm leaning toward running," end of quote. He's leaning toward running for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senator from New Hampshire. And by all accounts, he can win the nomination over the two opponents already in the race, House Speaker Bill O'Brien and retired U.S. Army Brigadier General Donald Bolduc, who is no friend of the other Donald, I might add. And this is an opinion that is almost unanimous among Republicans, even those who are not enamored with Corey Lewandowski. Everyone, it seems, is in love with his performance, where he talked about President Swalwell, referring to the former presidential candidate, Congressman Eric Swalwell of California, who tried to make him read a memo from the president. He said that he kept memos and other items from President Trump in a safe, and said, it's a pretty big safe, lots of guns in there. He jousted with House members, and in the end, he came very close to almost single-handedly wrecking the committee and generating the talk of run, Corey, run. My guess is this. This is someone who is cut from the same cloth as retired Colonel Oliver North, who was put on trial in the Iran-Contra hearings more than 20 years ago, 30 years ago, in fact, and he put the lawmakers on trial. Or the mysterious billionaire Howard Hughes, who in the days when he was out in public was called to testify before a Senate committee investigating profiteering in the late 40s. Well, he showed the senators that they were benefiting from the largesse of these contractors, and the committee was promptly adjourned. These are people who took Senate committees, House committees, all in the television age, and used it to their political advantage. Corey Lewandowski is just the latest in this line, and it looks like he did it. I will guess that he's not kidding. He is leaning toward running. I say he becomes a candidate in October.
As I watched the hearings, I enjoyed the hypocrisy of how the congressmen can be completely rude and obnoxious in how they address witnesses. But when the witnesses give it right back to them, the congressmen get very, very upset, to the extent that Congressman Jackie Speier from California suggested that Corey Lewandowski should be held in contempt and possibly fined.
Well, it's known on Capitol Hill as the golden rule. He who has the gold rules. Democrats have the majority in the House right now, so they pretty much can say and do what they want, and that means holding witnesses in contempt. I don't think they're going to tangle with Corey Lewandowski for a while, though.
Did they gain anything whatsoever with the independent voter or the American public in general? Did they gain anything from that hearing, or did they lose ground?
I think they lost ground because, minus Corey Lewandowski, the hearing was boring to people in general, and the details just drone on from these lawmakers. And another thing, as one who has covered House committee hearings, they can tend to lose the viewer quite soon because there's just a lot more of the House members than there are senators on their respective committees. Let me put it another way. In Senate committee hearings, some people have come out and emerged as superstars. And I note, for example, Senator John F. Kennedy in the Senate Rackets Committee, investigating organized labor and excesses of it in the 50s. Senator Sam Ervin and Howard Baker in the storied Watergate Committee hearings. And more recently, we've seen House committee hearings, and no real stars have emerged. Certainly they're not coming out of the Judiciary Committee right now. There's just too many of them for the viewing public to identify with.
Let's turn to the election this week in Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu failed to win re-election, but it ain't over till it's over. What is the status of Benjamin Netanyahu and those Israeli elections?
You know, Rick, I have a feeling we'll return to this next Saturday, or maybe even during the week, because it seems to change not by the day, but by the hour. With all votes in for the 120-member Knesset, or parliament, the leading party is the Blue and White Alliance. That's the centrists, roughly equivalent to the American Democratic Party, headed by retired Army Chief of Staff General Benny Gantz. Placing second with 31 seats in the Knesset is Likud, the conservative party headed by Israel's longest-serving prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. When you add the parties that are the natural allies to both, Blue and White has 57 seats. Netanyahu and the right have 53 seats. The remainder, the pivotal balance of power, is held by a far-right party headed by a former associate of Netanyahu, Avigdor Lieberman. Mr. Lieberman, a former foreign minister and defense minister, does not want to see a government with Bibi Netanyahu in it. Netanyahu could be indicted, and people seem to think this will happen if he's out of office on the charges of illegal gratuities. My guess is if he lost power, he'd lose personal freedom. So Netanyahu will not agree to a grand coalition or to stepping down and letting a coalition form without himself in charge. If I sound like I'm guiding my answer in one direction, you're right. Israelis I talk to and people following Israeli politics say there's going to be a third election. I got a feeling these folks are going to get a little tired of trekking to the polling booth.
If there is a significant change in power in Israel, what does it mean for our relations?
I'm glad you asked that, Rick. Benjamin Netanyahu is about as loyal a friend that the United States has in the Middle East, or anywhere in the world for that matter. He has a solid relationship with President Trump. In fact, his campaign posters showed him with his counterpart from the U.S. He will be counted on to expand Israeli hold in the Palestinian territories, to take a hard line with Hezbollah, Hamas, and any of the terrorist groups that are out there. And in contrast, Benny Gantz's blue and white alliance can be counted on to support the Iran nuclear agreement of Barack Obama's that Donald Trump abruptly ended when he took office as president. In addition, there will be an outreach to the Arab community, and in all likelihood, blue and white will be supportive of a two-state solution. One can never be sure of that with Netanyahu's Likudists.
One other election on the international front of significance to us is in Canada. And what do you think the impact of Prime Minister Trudeau's blackface and brownface videos and photographs will have in his reelection campaign?
Not much at all. Remember, we're talking about a parliamentary system. And Justin Trudeau has captured the young and the intellectuals and much of the French-speaking community. He's cut a lot of slack because his father, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, was Canada's longest-serving prime minister. My guess is he will do his mea culpas. He'll point out that this was a long time ago. I might add it's when he was the teacher on the faculty of a school. And aside from causing him some embarrassment, it will not go on. I can say that Prime Minister Trudeau has other problems, notably the economy in Canada, which is very uncertain and tremulous, with the issue of greater regulation of Canada's bustling oil industry. And as a result, he is either tied or trailing with the Conservative Party, headed by political newcomer Andrew Scheer. It will be interesting to watch this race. And remember one thing, as popular and loved as his father, Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, was, the elder Trudeau was ousted from office briefly by Conservative Joe Clark back in 1979. Then he regrouped himself, forced another election, and was back in the job that he loved most. That took a lot of political chutzpah and a lot of savoir-faire. Does the younger Trudeau have that? We'll find out soon enough.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Go to Google and type in Gizzi on politics, and also you can watch John on Twitter at John Gizzi. John, thanks.
Always a pleasure, Rick, and keep those elections coming. It keeps guys like me on our toes and working hard when we don't have briefings at the White House.
7:19, Saturday morning update. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
On the Beltway in Virginia, on the inner loop between the Springfield Interchange and Arlington Boulevard, they're still doing some paving work along the left side, and that is causing some slow traffic as well. We do have very slow traffic northbound on 395 from Etzel Road heading towards Duke Street, where they do have roadwork along the left side of the roadway. Also, you'll still find some roadwork southbound in that same area. So far, the Beltway in Maryland looks good. Keep in mind that in Maryland, Pennsylvania Avenue is still closed northbound at Quarter Avenue due to an accident investigation. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We've got sunshine straight through Wednesday, up to 88 today. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 91. Partly cloudy Monday, 92. Sunshine Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. High 81 on Tuesday and 82 on Wednesday. 62 right now, heading up to 88 this afternoon. Next up, Cheryl Atkinson. We're going to look into the whole story on the whistleblower, President Trump, and what's going on.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Rick Fowler here on the Saturday Morning Update. It's always great to get the perspectives of Cheryl Atkinson. She is the author of the New York Times bestsellers The Smear and Stonewalled, also the host of Full Measure tomorrow morning on ABC 7 at 10 o'clock. Great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
The big story this morning, the reports of President Trump's conversation with the newly elected president of Ukraine, in which the president allegedly asked the president 8 times to investigate Hunter Biden and some of his business activities in Ukraine. And this goes back to a story where Hunter Biden was on the board of Burisma Holdings, a Ukrainian energy company. Hunter's company was paid $166,000 a month, according to reports. There was an investigation of Burisma and that relationship underway by Ukraine's top prosecutor. Well, Joe Biden threatened to withhold $1 billion in U.S. loan guarantees if Ukraine did not fire the top prosecutor. Here's what Joe Biden said.
Gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here, and I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
So I wonder why President Trump might have some questions about that relationship.
Indeed, and you know, two things come to mind when I hear this recent reporting. Number one, you know me, the media is so often wrong, especially when they rely on these anonymous intel sources that have these vested interests. I don't believe anything at first blush unless I can kind of confirm it myself. So I'm skeptical of how things are being characterized. And number two, somebody wants this information out there, so I always end up asking who wants to spin this way and why. And part of me wonders if an intel community leaker, we've had so many of those the past couple of years, is actually trying to position himself as a supposed whistleblower as a way of protecting himself for, you know, leaks that he's committed that could be in violation of some kind of policy or law.
It surprises me, but then again, it doesn't surprise me that the media didn't go any further looking at a story where Biden actually admitted to getting the prosecutor who was investigating his son's business dealings, getting that prosecutor fired.
You know, I think his reasoning, if I remember correctly, was he believed or thought the prosecutor was corrupt. But can you imagine, if play the substitution game, as I call it, if President Trump had admitted on camera to threatening to have a prosecutor fired if the prosecutor was investigating his son's company or something related to his son, or withholding $1 billion in U.S. funds, not even his own money, but U.S. funds. I think if Trump had done that or certain other politicians, there would definitely have been a lot of headlines and inquiries and innuendos. But you're right. There really wasn't a lot of curiosity or skepticism when former Vice President Joe Biden admitted to what he'd done.
We'll see if the whole story rekindles interest in the relationship of the Bidens and Ukraine. Let's turn to Great Britain. Turmoil continues over Brexit. It includes political chaos that the new Prime Minister Boris Johnson is facing. You were in the United Kingdom recently, and you look at both sides of the story tomorrow morning on Full Measure. Help us to understand in layman's terms the issues that are causing the problems surrounding Brexit.
Well, I learned some really interesting things. I thought this is something we kind of talk over people's heads about, we in the news, when we talk about Brexit. People don't understand it and what's taking so long and what's it about. So on a trip to Europe, I looked into this, and in simple terms, one of the driving forces behind Brexit, the vote to exit the European Union, was the way the immigration crisis was handled in 2015 with so many illegal immigrants and refugees coming to Europe. All we heard over here was how welcoming Europe was of all of these people. Come to find out, it really made a lot of people mad over there. In fact, they shut the door on the immigration. They are stepping up deportations. Like, this did not turn out well. There were multiple terrorist attacks by the refugees in Europe right after they came. There are culture clashes and expenses. So that was one reason why some countries, including Great Britain, some people said, why are we forced as part of this comprehensive European policy to have this mishandling of this crisis thrust upon us and the costs and everything that comes with it? But why is it taking so long? This vote, remember, Rick, was in 2016. And we found out that Great Britain, when they called the vote, the politicians who held it didn't think that people were going to vote to exit. They thought the opposite, that it would codify, you know, that, hey, everybody wants to stay, stop talking about this potential separation. So when it turned out the other way, the politicians in charge of implementing it have been fighting tooth and nail ever since to try to dial it back. And that's part of the reason why it's taking so long.
We've seen the President Trump and the new British Prime Minister Boris Johnson have a good working relationship. What is the impact of Brexit on future U.S.-British relations?
Well, it's really important because you may remember, it wasn't really well explained what was going on, but President Obama, when the vote was being contemplated, was telling Great Britain, well, don't expect to have a good trade deal with the U.S. once you get out of the EU, because once they're not trading as one big unit, they'll have to negotiate their own deal, and, of course, we're probably their most important trading partner. And President Obama famously said, get to the back of the line, you know, join the club. We're not going to do anything special with you. Well, President Trump came in and said he'd put them at the front of the line and negotiate a very favorable deal, meaning the success of an independent Great Britain is much better, the prospects of success from a financial and trade standpoint, if the U.S. is on board with helping or negotiating favorable terms. And the fear we found out in talking to other Europeans, if this works out well and looks good for Great Britain, other European countries might do the same. And we heard that time and time again just from voters from different countries who said that they've talked about Brexit, a French exit, the Italians have talked about it. You know, it's not imminent, but some people do fear this could lead to sort of a breakup of the European Union.
Loved your opinion piece at thehill.com entitled, We've Lost Sight of the Real Scandal. Now, the Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz's latest investigation is coming out. Questions as to whether the former acting director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, will be indicted. You say, we're so wrapped up in the daily TikTok, we could be losing sight of a big picture that's come into focus over the past 2 years. Let's step back and take a look at that big picture.
I think it's incredible and incredibly important that an inspector general, by the way, who was appointed by President Obama, has now found that two former heads of the FBI, a former director and a former acting director, Comey and McCabe, have both committed violations that warrant possible criminal prosecution. That's what we know today, factually. There's no reason to doubt the findings of Horowitz on that front. And yet I haven't heard anybody talk about what a moment this is for our society and for the intelligence community to think that these two former top officials, and this is just the tip of the iceberg in my view, but that at least those two people have been found to have committed violations and acts worthy of potential criminal prosecution. I think that's a huge headline that's largely been missed as we chase the shiny balls in the different directions.
Cheryl's opinion piece at thehill.com is entitled, We've Lost Sight of the Real Scandal. As always, Cheryl, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
729 Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Coming up, Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland.
What's the best way to grow your money? While you're sleeping. It's called your investment income. Need good fiduciary advice? Go to GrahamCapitalWealth.com.
Norwegian Cruise Line brings you the sea, the sun, and now the sky. Introducing our Cruise Norwegian Fly Free offer. Enjoy free airfare to your cruise and start feeling free from the moment you leave home. Amazing destinations are now just a free flight away. Plus, cruise with free unlimited open bar and more. Cruise Norwegian, fly free. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or call 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line, feel free. Ships Registry, Bahamas and USA. Free airfare on select cruises from select gateways. Restrictions apply.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. $1,000. Four chances for you each weekday. It's 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Heather Curtis. Get ready for heavier weekend traffic than usual on I-95 northbound in Stafford County near the Rappahannock River Bridge tonight into tomorrow morning. VDOT spokesperson Kelly Hannon.
We are doing extensive paving this weekend. We are going to be having lane closures in place on I-95 northbound at exit 133.
Lane closures start tonight at 4. From 8:30 tonight until 10 tomorrow morning, all northbound traffic will be diverted onto the ramp at 133. An annual Memorial Day tradition in the nation's capital will continue under new leadership and with a new name. This year, Rolling Thunder, Inc. said they would be putting on their last massive Rolling Thunder motorcycle demonstration run, in large part because of the high cost of security at the Pentagon parking lot. Now, AMVETS is taking over the ride, which will be called Rolling to Remember. AMVETS spokesperson Miles Migliera.
My boss, our National Executive Director, Joe Schinelli, realized immediately that this is something that needs to continue because we still have around 82,000 POW MIAs that are still unaccounted for.
He says the ride will also raise awareness about veteran suicides. Migliera says they already have a permit for the route and are looking at getting one to stage at the Pentagon parking lot. In sports, Trey Turner hit two solo homers and the Nats beat the Marlins 6-4. The Brewers beat the Padres 5-1. Washington stayed one game ahead of Milwaukee for the top spot in the NL wild card standings. The Nats continue their series with the Marlins tonight at 6:10. The Cardinals are taking charge of the NL Central by grinding out tough, ugly wins. They held off the fading Cubs 2-1. The O's top the Mariners 5-3. That series continues tonight at 7:05. Up next, traffic and weather.
We're here with Nate, who loves online dating. True or false, Nate, most people lie on their online dating profiles.
False.
Sorry, more than half of online daters are already in relationships and lie about things like their marital status, income, and appearance. But not you, right, Nate?
Nope, I'm totally honest.
Oh, no, you aren't. Turns out you live with your mom, you drive a scooter, not an SUV, and you're not a hedge fund manager, you're a hedge trimmer. Is your name even Nate?
I gotta go. Bye.
Look, people, you can't spell online without L-I-E. It's Just Lunch is the dating service you can trust. You deserve a love life that's every bit as successful as you are. That's why we deliver guaranteed dates with busy professionals just like you, set up by expert matchmakers who get to know you and care about your success. Get offline. Get on a real date and start making real connections today. Visit itsjustlunchdc.com or call 202-466-6699 to learn more.
Want to sell your home quickly and for top dollar but without the inconvenience of a lockbox on your door or open house? My name is Thomas Smith, and last spring I sold my home with Eric Stewart of Long & Foster using his quiet listing approach. Eric was able to sell my house without it ever going on the active market, and I couldn't be happier with the results. To learn more, call Eric Stewart at 1-800-900-9104 or visit his website at www.ericstewartgroup.com.
WMAL traffic and weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
A couple of work zones in Virginia still causing delays. 395 northbound at Duke Street. There is still road work in the left and the center lane causing very slow traffic from Edsel Road. Also watch out for the road work southbound on 395 between King Street and Duke Street. But delays are worse on the north side of 395. Also in the inner loop of the Beltway between Springfield and Arlington Boulevard, they're still doing road work there along the right side, and that is causing slow traffic as well. No delays or problems to report on the Maryland Beltway, and so far so good on 95 Maryland from the Capitol Beltway to the Baltimore Beltway. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, sunny, a high in the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 68. Right now, 62 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on WMAL.
Forget uncomfortable dentures, messy adhesives, and multiple trips to a prosthodontist. You can get straight, natural-looking teeth in one day. That's right, dental implants done fast. The highly trained, board-certified surgeons at Nova OMS have the expertise to create a beautiful-looking smile in just one visit. Doctors Namy, Yagmai, and Associates are renowned for their surgical work and are committed to making your dental makeover as pleasant as possible. If you've been wanting a smile that looks and feels good, schedule a consultation with Nova OMS today. Unlike many oral surgeons, they accept most insurance. Plus, they have three convenient locations in Northern Virginia, Burke, Reston, and Alexandria. Call 703-719-4133 or visit NovaOMS.com. Honestly, you'll love your new smile after getting your teeth in one day, including the pampering experience from Nova OMS. Call and learn how you can get dental implants done fast. Act now. You'll be glad you did. 703-719-4133 or visit NovaOMS.com.
Sponsored by Valens Publishing. Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions are posted at textrules.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated marketing messages by text. Message and data rates may apply.
This is a public warning. If you own any U.S. stocks, you could soon be a victim to the biggest mass deception in U.S. financial history. To spread the word, a professor who's lectured at Harvard University and the Wharton Business School has just posted a 3-minute expose on why you're being lied to by the financial system and what it means for your retirement. Visit stockmarketscandal6.com. All one word, there. Watch a 3-minute public announcement from Professor Joel Lichtman, a forensic accountant who warned Americans about the market crash in 2008. Before it's too late, visit StockMarketScandal6.com to get the full story on what's coming to the stock market, or text the word SCANDAL to 246810. You will hear a disturbing message that affects 8,500 stocks you might be holding right now. A warning that's already attracted 180 of the world's top 300 money managers. Again, go to StockMarketScandal6.com or text SCANDAL, S-C-A-N-D-A-L, to 246810.
7:36 Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. It is great to be joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, trained CIA intel operative and president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good to have you with us.
Rick, always great to be on. Thanks.
All right. In a couple of minutes, we're going to talk with KT McFarland about the diplomacy and foreign policy aspects of the next steps on Iran. I want to talk to you about military operations. Pentagon is announcing that they're sending troops to Saudi Arabia. And first off, what would be the role of U.S. troops?
Similar to the first Gulf War, if you remember what happened with Iraq, and Iraq's going to come up here again in a second. So the idea here is very simply to help the Saudis secure the resource. It's very clear at this point that the Iranians are doing a multifaceted, very aggressive campaign against that, so this is partly to secure that. Secondly, apparently all the information I'm hearing is that the attack that we've seen came from Iraq, that the Quds Force did this. This is one of the reasons the attack wasn't detected. It came from a direction that apparently the Saudis had not suspected it would come from. And so we do understand now, based on some other weaknesses of strategy, that it's pretty clear that the Iranians have been able to establish some level of military force in Iraq, which has been used as a base of operations. And I think more is going to come out on this, but it looks like the actual attack was launched from Iraq to Saudi. So this is, I think, the physical security of this area is going to be something of necessity, and I think that's why you see the troops going in.
So what you're saying is the attack was launched by Iran, but it was launched geographically from Iraq.
Correct, absolutely. So part of the solution is to put troops into Saudi to start essentially looking for how to prevent this from happening again. And let me be very clear on this. The evidence so far is that there are physically in Iraq, Iranian troops, that is Quds Force, their kind of forward Praetorian Guard, which does the mullah's work. So this is where it's going to get a bit dicey, but I think I don't disagree with the idea of sending troops in to do a security mission.
So the Houthi rebels of Yemen likely not behind the attack.
It's kind of like having, I'm trying to think of the best metaphor here to describe this. It's like saying that a bunch of 15-year-old kids in D.C. were able to essentially mount a sophisticated bank robbery using drones and everything else in another state. It's just not conceivable, and I think that's what we're seeing here.
Got it. All right. American Airlines mechanic apparently has ties to ISIS. Yeah. And secondly, there was a Hezbollah covert operative scouting sites in D.C. and New York City. We have discovered this, and these men are in custody. But I think it points to the fact that there are still bad actors out there, and we're just fortunate to catch them.
So on the latter first, there was a very significant and large network that we talked about before. It's this counterterrorism task force that primarily is the most effective one is led by the NYPD, and the NYPD does essentially a nationwide service by maintaining this network of information and information sharing. The Joint Terrorism Task Force system by the FBI is pretty much useless at this point. Information goes and doesn't come back out. So I credit pure law enforcement with going out and doing the hard thing of monitoring for significant activities to pick up on these guys. And this Hezbollah guy was kind of picked up on. On the other guy, on the mechanic, it's a bit frightening because we've known for a while that ISIS has had the aspiration of trying to get people in behind the security mechanisms of airports. And where there's one, there's more. And I think this is something I don't want to, you know, freak people out, but that's something that people should be aware of, and people should start taking a deeper notice and rechecking some of this, because this guy could have done real damage by hampering the flight controls of that aircraft.
All right, I want to turn to Venezuela and Cuba, and it's for a couple of reasons. Number one, you wrote an opinion piece in the Miami Herald, but I think it's important to point out that President Trump had really tightened things up after the Obama administration had really let Cuba, you know, out of the bag, basically, and really was opening up Cuba. This concerned a lot of Cuban nationals in Florida, of course, the Republican congressional representatives in Florida, up in arms about it. John Bolton was a hawk on Cuba and Venezuela. Your headline, even with Bolton out of the picture, Trump won't go easy on Cuba and Venezuela. That's your headline in the Miami Herald. Tell us about
it. Yeah. Well, yeah, so it's very simple. I mean, look, John Bolton has set aside, I don't want to get into any personality issues, this issue regarding Venezuela and Cuba precedes, that is to say, the president's interest in having a hard line regarding Cuba especially precedes President Trump's administration. And there's, based on the folks I've spoken with and the things which are ongoing, there's absolutely going to be no change in the president's attitude nor the administration's focus on Venezuela, trying to establish a real democracy there and holding Cuba at bay until there's some level of real change. And these things are not going to change. The president is going to maintain that. The new National Security Council leader coming in, O'Brien, is going to do the same thing.
All right. Also want to look at election security. A lot of criticism that the Republicans have not moved on election security. And with the contention between the Dems and the Repubs, I don't know how much is going to get done. But you've been involved in this. What is the very latest on election security and the Congress?
Yeah, well, Robert Norquist and I actually did an editorial in the Washington Examiner on this earlier this week, where we talk and outline the vulnerabilities and costs. And so this last week, finally, the Senate, Mitch McConnell, finally relented and put about $250 million towards it. Let me be very clear on this. We have known vulnerabilities of digital machines. The digital machines were not designed with any protections. And frankly, you know, we have threats who want to penetrate that and essentially upset the election no matter who wins. So we proposed, Rick, to go to paper ballots and a series of risk-limiting audits, which helps verify the fact that when a person casts their vote, that vote is counted as cast and is being is retrievable and sustainable as something as of a record. These are very basic things, and we're hoping the Republicans fully come around, especially Mitch McConnell, come around to finally funding what the states need on this, because it's I'm not a big spending guy, but I'm a fiscal hawk, but we've got to find a way to make sure the states are prepared to deal with the threats in the 2020 election.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and you can check out his opinion pieces at the Washington Examiner and the Miami Herald this week. Tony, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. 744, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Up next, we'll talk with KT McFarland, but first over to the WMAL Traffic Center. Michelle Murray is there this morning.
On the Beltway in Virginia, on the inner loop between the Springfield Interchange and Arlington Boulevard, they're still doing some paving work along the left side, and that is causing some slow traffic as well. We do have very slow traffic northbound on 395 from Etzel Road heading towards Duke Street, where they do have road work along the left side of the roadway. Also, you'll still find some road work southbound in that same area. So far, the Beltway in Maryland looks good. Keep in mind that in Maryland, Pennsylvania Avenue is still closed northbound at Quarter Avenue due to an accident investigation. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
It's your summer Saturday and Sunday here. Sunshine today, a high of 88. Sunny tomorrow, high of 91. Cloudy on Monday, high of 92. Sunshine Tuesday and Wednesday will be in the low 80s later in the week. Right now in D.C., 63, heading to 88, 745, Saturday Morning Update. KT McFarland is next.
With every other diet program I had used, the weight always came back.
One human being caring about and helping another. That's one of EMP 180's secrets for being a successful weight loss program. Empathetic one-to-one professional science and nutrition counseling to keep you headed for lifetime success.
Hi, my name's Patty Menders, and I live in Ashburn, Virginia. Before EMP 180, I was 183, and with their help right before my wedding, I was 157. One of the major factors in my success with EMP 180 was Danielle, my nutritionist. Danielle was positive, she was encouraging, and gave me the confidence to keep going. EMP 180 was a reset for me and my life.
Set your first consult at EMP180.com or call 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. Financing's available. So are first responder, military, and teacher discounts. EMP 180 weight loss. Use it to lose it for life.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and if you're planning to sell your home, the next step is to call my friends and realtors Sarah and Debbie Reynolds with Keller Williams. Putting the most money in your pocket is the number one reason why you should call. Don't risk losing your equity. The Reynolds team guarantees to sell your home at 100% of the asking price, or they're going to pay you the difference. That's huge. The Reynolds team sells their homes three times faster and for 6% more money on average. That's an extra $30,000. Their results are staggering. Selling a home every 5 hours. They're ranked by the Wall Street Journal as number one in the D.C. Metro. Do yourself a big favor. Call the Reynolds team and ask them to show you their list of over 8,000 pre-screened ready buyers and then start packing. Call Sarah and Debbie Reynolds right now, 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune into WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
This Saturday at Marlowe, you can save up to 60% on all the top brands and latest furniture styles. Plus, you won't believe the low, low monthly payments if you elect to finance. Up to 60% off this Saturday only at Marlowe.
.749 Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by KT McFarland, former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to have you with us. And, of course, the situation with Iran has intensified. And there was a report on Pakistani radio last night that Yemen's Houthi rebels have announced that they will halt all attacks on Saudi Arabia as part of a peace initiative. And I kind of chuckled because I have a tendency to not think it was the Houthi rebels that launched those drones toward Saudi Arabia. The president has been holding back, and it looks as though President Trump's strategy is to show strength through restraint. And one of the questions is, does that help him to build a coalition?
Well, I think you're absolutely, first of all, I question anything coming out of Pakistan, number one. And number two, whether the debate is, oh, is it really the Iranians or was it their proxy forces, the Houthi rebels? I mean, who cares? You know, it's all designed to come from Iran one way or another. And I think Trump's got this one just about right. He's got Iran in the right place because of his economic sanctions. The economy of Iran is in real trouble, and Trump's continuing to squeeze them further with additional sanctions, and that only makes a bad situation for them much worse. And at some point, that's going to lead to domestic political problems for the Iranian regime. I mean, their inflation rate's already above 50%. Their unemployment rate, especially college-educated young people, is about 40%, and two-thirds of the country's under the age of 40. So the remarkable thing is that those young people who are unemployed and angry with their government, they're pro-American, and they don't like the zealots that are running their country. So continuing to put the economic pressure on Iran, on the economy, I think does nothing but make the United States better and the Iranian regime look even worse. So why would Iran do this sort of thing, either Iran or their Houthi proxies? Why are they trying to attack Saudi Arabia? I think it's either one of two things. They either want, they know they're going to have to negotiate soon, so they want to get in a better position. But I think more likely, they know they're in political trouble. And what better way, as Lenin once said, to get the country back together than to have a foreign enemy? And so if they could possibly lure the United States into some kind of a military response, then all the domestic political opposition that the Iranian regime has at home, that disappears as everybody rallies around the flag. I think it's a pretty cynical move on their part to remain in power.
So Rouhani got his visa. He will be in New York for the United Nations meetings next week. Mm-hmm. You think there's any chance that Trump and Rouhani will get together?
Well, given Trump, you never know. And if he does do it, it's because he's doing it from a position of strength. I think Trump has said all along, look, we're interested in a deal, not the bad Iranian nuclear deal. We're interested in a new deal. Better deal for us that ends the terrorist issue in the region and stops the Saudi nuclear program. But if Trump can't get that, if they don't want to negotiate on the American terms, I mean, Trump keeps saying, we don't believe in regime change. We're not trying to throw you guys out of power. We just want a better and new deal. But if they don't want to play, if the Iranians still want to insist that they're going down this path, then I think Trump should stop the talking about we don't believe in regime change. And I think he should do what Reagan did during the Cold War. Encourage that younger generation in Iran to stand up to the mullahs, not by military force on our part, but to encourage them to say, look, we're looking for a deal with Iran. And if it can't be with the mullahs, then we're looking for a deal with a government that replaces the mullahs.
President Trump has appointed Robert C. O'Brien to replace John Bolton as the National Security Advisor. Who better to ask about Robert C. O'Brien than the former Deputy National Security Advisor, Kate D. McFarland? I would imagine you know a lot about O'Brien and that position.
Yeah, and I want to take full credit for this one. Robert O'Brien, I've known for a long time. I've had great admiration and respect for him as an international lawyer and as a guy who understood international organizations and treaties and negotiating. And so I made a real effort to bring him to the attention of the Trump people during the early days of the Trump-Trower transition. I brought him to New York. He interviewed for various positions. He was hired for the State Department. And he's done brilliantly well. And the way I look at Trump's search for a national security advisor that's going to suit him is it's kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. General McMaster was too much of a globalist. He didn't really believe in Trump's America First policy. So his porridge was too cold. Bolton, on the other hand, was too much of a neocon and too eager to send in the troops in various situations. So I think his porridge was just too hot. O'Brien is more in line with Trump's own thinking. He wrote a short foreign policy book a couple of years ago. It's called While America Slept. You could read it in an hour. It's very good. It makes the main points. But it shows that he is on the same wavelength as Trump. The Iran nuclear deal is bad. The American military had been hollowed out in the Obama administration. Time to get peace through strength. Time to use our economic weapons and not go to war with countries that don't matter and leaders that don't like us. So I think O'Brien, in fact, like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, O'Brien might be just right.
And how about his alignment with Mike Pompeo and President Trump?
Well, that's the other thing, is that unlike Bolton and unlike McMaster, who had not worked with President Trump or any of the other cabinet members before in a working relationship, even if they knew each other, O'Brien has. He's worked closely with Pompeo. He's been the chief hostage negotiator. It's a State Department position. So Pompeo knows O'Brien, has his trust. And similarly, Trump, who is all about negotiations, he's also worked closely with O'Brien. So there's no unknown here. Everybody knows everybody else. They know their opinions, and they know that they can work well together. And I don't think in anybody's mind there's going to be a confusion in this trio of the president, Pompeo, and Bob O'Brien. I think everybody understands who's the boss, and that's Trump.
So CNN, MSNBC, many of the pundits, Democratic presidential candidates, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, everybody is all excited about the whistleblower. And President Trump, his conversation with the president of Ukraine about Joe and Hunter Biden. And we spent quite a bit of time this morning providing the background on the relationship and what Trump was asking about. And that was payments of $166,000 a month from a Ukraine energy company to Hunter Biden. There was an investigation by a prosecutor in Ukraine. Joe Biden said, I'm going to hold back $1 billion in aid if you don't fire the prosecutor, and he got him fired. So there's more to the story than just the whistleblower. But I just wanted to get your reaction as to what you've seen so far on this story. And we got about 3 minutes.
Okay, well, first of all, Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. And whether there were people buying off, trading off, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. And they would be very good at doing it through not just the direct politician, but relatives of the politician. So I agree with you. I think that maybe the media was hoping this was going to be a story that would destroy Trump, but it may turn out to have a boomerang effect and make it difficult for other candidates of a different political party. But anyway, my new rule is this. Any bombshell allegation or breaking news that I read about in Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, any place, I read it very carefully. And the minute I see the word anonymous source, I stop reading it or I hit the mute button. For example, today's Washington Post, they had the bombshell story about Trump trading U.S. foreign aid to Ukraine for dirt about Joe Biden's son, corrupt deals with the Ukrainian oligarchs. But let me read to you what a sentence or two says. President Trump pressed the Ukrainian president in a July call to investigate former President Biden's son. Quote, according to a person familiar with the conversation. So in other words, an anonymous source, the New York Times version. Trump pressed Ukrainian president in a call, according to, quote, a person familiar with a conversation, unquote. And then it goes on to say, Trump repeatedly told the Ukrainian leader who had been urging the government in Kiev to invest, according to two other people briefed on the call. And then finally they say, the whistleblower complaint is according to two people familiar with the complaint. Now, in normal times, the source that you don't quote, the anonymous source, is used, but it's always backed up by a record or other corroborating facts. But these aren't normal times. And the anti-Trump media has gone so wacky that they've taken it upon themselves, even if it means abandoning their journalistic efforts and ethics to destroy Trump. You can read an entire one of these bombshell stories with no reference to known facts. It's only, you know what, anonymous sources, people close to the story but not authorized to speak publicly, people who have been briefed by others. That's like the game of post office. you know, I want to find out if this is such an allegation and a bombshell story, whether it's the Michael Avenatti stories or the Judge Kavanaugh accusations or the Lawrence O'Donnell bombshell that the Russians signed Trump's loans. I want to find out if there's anything real here, because it increasingly does sound like fake news. And the reason the accusation of fake news has resonated with the American people is there's an awful lot of it.
Well, remember, Adam Schiff has the evidence on Russian collusion.
Oh, yeah, sure. And as one of the intelligence chiefs said, he has evidence that Donald Trump is a Russian agent.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. KT McFarland, as always, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. 8 o'clock news is next with Heather Curtis, then it's Garden Sense.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. $1,000. Four chances for you each weekday. It's 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station.